Do you know what time it is? It's supernatural story time. And if you're easily scared, and even if you're not, there's only one thing left to do. Just turn off the lights, because these are stories that you listen to only in the dark. It Waits, Volume 2, Story 1. Earlier this year, a friend and I went camping in the Sawtooth Mountains just outside of Arizona City, Arizona. We spent most of the day just off-roading while keeping an eye out for a good spot to park the truck and make camp. We found an old brick building and a group of wild burros. As it started to get later in the day, we got out and checked spots near that large wash, and the only place with trees that happened to be close to us was near a local farm. Every spot we came to had water jugs and burlap bags. Yeah, the type the cartels used to smuggle drugs. Oh, and did I mention that it was a known smuggling route? Eventually, we just decided on a spot that would partially conceal the truck, and we made camp. As we started searching the area for targets to shoot at with my .22, we found at least 4 burlap bags around 30 feet from the truck. Goes without saying that it made us a bit nervous, but we were determined to stay the night. As it got dark, we started up the fire and joked around a bit over a small bottle of whiskey. Then we suddenly noticed a light through the trees on the other side of the wash. It looked like it was coming from the farm that had a raised road around it. So we shrugged it off at first, but every few minutes we would notice it had moved about 10 feet. We finally just decided it was a farmer out there checking his crops and decided to call it a night. I had a few rounds left in my .22, so I thought it'd be a good idea to pop some off to let whoever was in the area know that we were here and that we were armed. The second I popped off those shots, that light went off and didn't come on the rest of the night. Goes without saying that my friend and I slept really close to our pistols that night. The next day, we broke camp and everything was as it was, with the exception of a fresh cow pie not 3 feet from the truck. I gave my Border Patrol friend a call later that day, and he confirmed my suspicions that it was probably a cartel member that was waiting for a drug or human smuggling pickup. Story number 2. This happened at the compound in southern Alabama. My wife and me, we had gone down to visit the family just before moving to Orlando. We parked where we always do, underneath a streetlight towards the shed end of a large carport that's the very back of the property. It's about 25 yards across the yard to the shed and about 15 to the car, which is off the porch at about a 45-degree angle, if you're looking straight back. Well, that night, we didn't bring our clothes in, and it was getting time to start thinking about bed about 1 a.m., so I volunteered to go and get them from the car. As always, I had my .45 on me, a small LED light I also keep with me, and the AK in the back seat. As I walked down the ramp, there was no sound whatsoever, but I didn't think much of it. So I got to the bottom of the ramp and turned to my right to go to the car. I heard what I could only describe as a bull blowing before a charge. That's all I know that it sounds like. I pulled my .45 purely on instinct and shone my light towards the back of the carport where it was coming from. I couldn't get a good look due to there being a light in the shed that was pointed at the cars and therefore pointed at me enough to ruin my visibility in the dark. Whatever it was between 6 to 8 feet tall, dark colored, and was not afraid of me. We stood there with me trained on it for what felt like hours, but was only maybe a minute before I started moving to the truck to get the heavy artillery. During that time, it did that bull blow thing at least twice more. When I moved towards the car on my right, it moved toward the open space between the carport and fence along the side of the compound, which was on my left. It took maybe 3 to 5 strides to go about 20 or 24 feet. When I retrieved the AK, I headed back for the house. Never did I drop my muzzle. Never did I put the safety on until I was inside. As soon as I hit the door, I could hear it going through the woods at the back left corner of the property, between the small trees, the vines, the high grass, etc. A human wouldn't be able to get through, but this thing just plowed on. Myself and the mill went back out with her holding a much stronger light. But the only thing we found was a torn to hell path through the woods, and the next morning what seemed to be footprints on the clay. There was no dig from a hoof, but there were clearly disturbed places from something being there. Since then, my mother-in-law has seen it and is not concerned enough to want a gun. I didn't believe in Bigfoot, but I just can't think of anything else it might have been. Next story. I have more than a passing interest in the paranormal and things that go bump in the night. Not that I particularly believe all of it. Due to a sighting of something about 20 years ago. I just left a favorite fishing hole and was driving uphill at about 10 miles an hour, just enjoying the cool breeze. I looked over at some horses in a field, literally about 10 feet from the road. I saw a small gray human-type form crouching at the line that separated the woods from the field. It was about 3 feet tall, as best as I could tell. It had a grayish-blue skin tone, bald head, and very pointy ears as well. I'd stopped in the middle of the road at that point and was within 30 to 40 feet from whatever this was. A car came up behind me at that point, so I moved ahead and started to doubt what I had actually seen. People in the paranormal field have told me that it could have been a form of djinn and that they can be either malevolent or benign towards humans. I sometimes stop and think that all the bad luck I've had in the past 20 years had something to do specifically with that sighting. I don't know that I believe any of my bad luck has something to do with a gremlin I saw on the field, but who knows? Next story. I was traveling across America camping for about a month and a half down the entire East Coast, first then zigzagging across the South. First one, I was in Moab, Utah, camping, and I was almost sure there'd be nothing to really worry about in the campsite because the place was pretty much vast and vegetation-free. There was a little trail down into the only green for quite a distance, and within about 5 steps, there was a loud, vicious squealing growl, followed by two somethings just above knee height, headbutting my leg mid-fight with each other before disappearing into the bushes again. Scared the crap out of me. They weren't dogs for sure from the sound, but it was kind of dark, so who knows what it was. On my next story, I was in Ouray, Colorado. It doesn't take very long to move from the main street area to some woods, so I thought I'd be reasonably safe for a while. There's a kind of zigzagging trail, and as soon as I was up about 3 turns, I heard this crack. I turned around, and there's a bear about 2 turns down, trying to ignore the path and walk up towards me, up the slopes. Luckily, it had been raining kind of hard earlier, so it just kept slipping down the wet slope. I tossed a rock at it, and it ran off back the way it came. I think I may have seen the same bear a little distance off later that day, but it wanted nothing to do with me and just kept going. There was a little fire pit at the top of the trail with beer cans and scraps of food around, so I think it was just trying to get in the way of a snack. He wasn't big, so I wasn't worried enough to go back. Now, this third incident happened, but it was near some petroglyphs in a canyon with some Native American houses in the cliff face. And all that happened was a gray snake crawled over my shoes and scared the crap out of me. I almost Scooby-Doo jumped into the arms of the guy behind me. Luckily, he was a friend, otherwise things would have been pretty awkward the rest of the hike. Well, I'm a skeptic, but I guess I might as well throw in a ghost story or two while I'm at it. My friend's uncle is a reporter for several newspapers. He's kind of famous for going to haunted areas around Ireland every Halloween season. Considering it's Ireland, you can't really throw a stone without hitting a haunted house or a fairy mound or a tree. We joined them on several stays at cemeteries, dilapidated churches, and such. The only place really terrifying was an asylum with a history of several children killed by an angel of mercy type nurse by throwing them down a stairwell. We were locked in by the old caretaker, and he said we were mad for even considering staying overnight, and that he had seen several things over the years. It was all very horror movie. But he was right. The night was plagued with noises, very clear human-shaped moving silhouettes, and thudding of something falling down the stairs. I still think that there's a possible explanation for it all, but that's not how your mind works when it's happening. Now, another story is when I was a kid. I was collecting labels for my yo-yo, for Coca-Cola, and myself and my friend were heading to the park. There's a girl outside the gates leaning against the wall drinking Coke. I asked for a label, and she said she'd be there for a while and to come and get it in a few minutes. We headed on into the park to sit on the swings. After a few minutes, my friend decided to run and check if the girl was done. The swings are a fair distance from the gate. And while he was away, an old man and a little girl started walking into the park, both wearing light-colored clothes. They got pretty far into the park and started walking towards the swings. Being the polite young man at the time, I was preparing to say, "Hello, how are you?" Then my friend called that he got the label, and I turned. When I turned back, they were gone. It was impossible that they could have left in during that turn of a head. Now, taking a leave from my friend's uncle, we decided to go on a bit of a ghost trip on our own in a local foresty area. There was a local rumor about a girl in 1600-style period clothes that appeared perfectly fine at the passing of the light of a car or torch one moment, at the next time she's seen with her neck snapped at an odd angle. She apparently hung herself and broke her neck in the fall. Within minutes of night, our torches passed an opening in the forest. We didn't see the rumored girl, but we did see something like a large black cloak dart through the trees and disappear. I'm pretty sure it wasn't Batman. Next story. Quick background about me. I was 25 at the time, a person of sound mental and physical health, no drug ingestion, no alcohol, never had a hallucination, and was working as a police officer at the time. I was in the Pine Barrens area of New Jersey, driving around with my then girlfriend. We used to like to drive around old roads at night and just explore. Well, one night we were going along at a slow pace because we were entering a town. On the right side of the vehicle, we caught a glimpse of something out of the corner of our eye. I turned and saw what I can only describe as a brown-haired creature. The hair was coarse-looking, like that of a hog or similar animal. It was about 4 to 6 feet in height and had wings. The wings were huge and gray. When it began to take flight, it was more in a vertical fashion compared to a gradual climb. Its wings flapped rather slowly, and it climbed over the trees and disappeared. We immediately got out of the car and started looking around with flashlights. There was nothing to be found. Now, we both started chuckling to ourselves about the Jersey Devil, which, if anyone isn't familiar, is local folklore. There have been sightings before, but of course no confirmations. To this day, we have no idea what we saw. No animal that is indigenous to New Jersey looks like that. We started thinking it was a large crane or a dead animal being picked up by a bird of prey, or just someone playing a prank. We still don't know, and it wasn't all that creepy. It was exhilarating because the whole time I was thinking, I'm a cop. They have to believe me now. Still, nobody did. Next story. My husband is from Guatemala and tells lots of his family's old stories. He can identify ghost beings by name. La Llorona, the crying woman. San Simon, the vaquero or cowboy. El Duende, the elf, and others I can't remember. They believe evil spirits are out and about after dark looking for people's soul to steal. Sun sets at about 6:30 p.m., so I thought the stories were told by the elders to keep teenagers at home and out of each other's pants. But that didn't work so well. Anyway, when he was a kid, all the kids helped with a coffee harvest. About 11 years old, his job was to carry the huge bags of coffee, about 100 pounds, down the winding narrow paths to the trucks on the road to be shipped to Starbucks near you. He and his brother were walking slowly with the coffee bags on their backs when they looked up and saw two dead bodies, one male and one female, hanging or lynched from a tree off the path. The boys panicked, screamed, dropped the bags of coffee, which tripped open, and they ran away. In that country, people that see, hear, and know things they're not supposed to get killed for it. So they were more terrified for their own safety. They didn't dare to return to pick up their pay. He somehow got out of there and hid out at their grandmother's house. She pulled some strings to keep the boy safe. Nasty, huh? Traumatic for kids. Next story. I was touring the east coast of Australia some years ago with a girlfriend in a van. We were in the Blue Mountains and had been driving for a few hours. We were looking for a place to camp out for the night. But for the most part, the Blue Mountains is the ridgeline which has suburbs on it, or you go down into the wilderness, which is surprisingly hard to get to. Anyway, we found a road down into the bush, which we drove down for about 35 minutes. It got sparser and sparser of houses. The last 15 minutes, there were no houses, just bush. Then we came across a really large white building lit by yellow outdoor lights. It looked completely deserted and spooky as hell. We joked to each other about it, that it looked like a mental asylum, except for the fact that it looked completely uninhabited. We laughed because we obviously had seen too many stereotypical horror movies, but also to try and shake off the feeling of how spooky it was. We then drove for another 25 minutes through the bush with no signs of life. Finally, we pulled up off the road into a little clearing did our nighttime routine and tucked up for the night. I was just nodding off when my girlfriend said, "Do you feel something a bit weird here?" I said, "Yes." I did feel somewhat uneasy, like there was a pressure from outside, like a claustrophobic kind of looming pressure. I ignored it and started to nod off. It got worse. It got much worse. It was starting to feel like there was a huge black spirit with malicious intent looming over and all around the vehicle. Literally, it was like it was about to pounce and crush us. I said, "So, I'm starting to feel really uncomfortable." My girlfriend said, "Oh crap, I thought it was just me. Let's get the F out of here." At which he jumped butt naked into the driver's seat and literally peeled out of the parkway and burned up the dirt road. It felt like a freaking 10-foot claws came scything down right as we were pulling out, and that huge dark energy was almost suffocating the van and chased us up the road. We didn't stop driving until we got not only out of the bush, but out of the Blue Mountains. And we finally camped up in a nice suburban street right under a street lamp. We later found out that it was an asylum. And of course, who knows what went on there. That was 15 years ago. And thinking about it, I still haven't been back to the Blue Mountains since. Just in case. Next story. A few years back, I was camping in northern Washington state, pretty close to the Canadian border. It was just me and a hunting buddy, and we were 100 miles from the nearest person. As we were making camp for the night, it was starting to get dark, and we could hear and sense something moving around the camp area just out of sight. It was a little creepy, but it could have been lots of things, so we weren't too freaked yet. After dark, we were settling into our tent for the night, and we're all zippered in when something hit the tent. We looked at each other like, "What the... was that?" And then it happened again. Something was throwing things at our tent. At this time, we were crapping our pants and holding tight to our rifles, with both of us too scared to go out and check. You have to realize how far we were from civilization. There was pretty much zero chance that this was a human, and we couldn't figure out what kind of animal could do this. Suddenly, we heard a weird scream off in the distance, and whatever was at our camp started lumbering very loudly and quickly down the side of the mountain. We didn't leave the tent all night. In the morning, we went out to survey the area and found that our tent had been pelted by bushes and plants that had been torn up by the roots and thrown at us. We didn't see any tracks, just the damage to the surrounding area. We packed up and got ourselves out of there while all the while trying to figure out a logical explanation. But in reality, we kept coming back to only one conclusion. And I'm sure you know what that is. Next story. I was camping alone at a lake park about an hour away from home, and it was gorgeous weather, but I can't remember why no one else was staying at the park. Must have been late or too early in the season. Anyway, I was down at the little dock alone fishing in the dark at night, and got this totally creepy feeling because there was absolutely no noise at all. No bugs, birds, not even any raccoons. I hiked it back up to my campsite and built the fire up, thinking the more light the better. And I can't remember what I was doing, but I happened to glance up right as something passed, gliding really low in the sky right over me. I kid you not, I could have sworn I just saw a UFO. No noise, no lights, just a smooth shape silently sliding through in a straight line. It wasn't a shooting star and not a bird. It was just an opaque shape blocking out the sky and not emitting any light. So, after trying to talk myself down from freaking out too much and sitting by the fire, my imagination started getting the best of me, and I kept turning around looking over my shoulder for beady green-eyed men poking around from behind a tree or something. And all I had in defense was a little BB gun and a knife. So I eventually got scared enough and ended up starting my truck right up, turning the headlights on so I could put the fire out really fast, threw everything into the back, and I hightailed it out of there. It still gives me jitters when I think about it, especially the absolute silence of it all. Next story. When I was a kid, I used to spend the night over at my parents' friend's house. They had four kids, and we all played together, ran around in the woods on their property, etc. I previously spent the night a good five times before this and never had any experiences. Until one night. I was sleeping on their couch. This was not in a house, but a mobile home. while the main house was being constructed. I slept outside their room in the living room. Their kids shared two small bedrooms in the back of the trailer. For some weird reason, I woke up in the middle of the night with this weird feeling. I thought nothing of it, and when I turned over on the couch to adjust my pillow, I about freaked out when I looked towards, and in the corner of the room, which is only about 8 feet from me, was an old wooden barrel made into a chair. And well, there was a woman sitting in it, and that old wooden barrel chair looking or facing straight at me. Now, about the woman, the figure was not a flesh and blood looking woman. It was weird, like your TV static looks at night when the network shuts off. Not a big haze of fuzz, but a semi-defined gray fuzziness, like the shape of what I thought looked to be a lady. Hard to explain, but in that fuzziness, I could definitely tell it was a woman sitting in the chair, and she was staring right at me, watching me sleep, I guess. The chair was faced right at me, and I could not actually see her eyes or anything like that. Like I said, she was a fuzzy outlined mass, and the room was low lit, almost sort of dark, so the gray fuzz stood out against the black room. I was thinking, what the heck should I do? I know 100% sure I was not sleeping. So I just acted like I didn't see it, turned back towards the couch with my back to it, and I acted like I was just sleepily adjusting. So I'm lying there facing the back of the couch, freaking out in my mind for what seemed like a good 5 minutes, wondering if this woman is going to get me. So I say to myself, calm down. It's your imagination, right? Yeah, that's all it is. So I mustered the courage to turn around and see if maybe I was just making it up in my head. So I act like I'm just sleepy, adjusted, and turn back to face it with one of my eyes open. Holy crap! It was still there, looking at me. And it confirmed in my mind that I wasn't just seeing things, and that something was sitting there actually staring at me. I kind of freaked a bit. I thought maybe I should run, but where was I going to run to? But what if I did that and it grabbed me or something? Man, I was flipping it out in my head. I didn't know what to do or if I should say anything. So I acted like I was sleeping and I simply turned back over and went to sleep after about 10 minutes of hoping it wouldn't come get me. I literally went back to sleep in fear of not knowing what was going to happen. Remember, I was a kid, but I was like maybe 13 years old, so I was not a small child. Well, nothing got me, and I woke up early the next morning and looked right at the chair. Nothing there. Nothing near it that could have looked like anything just beside an old wooden barrel chair. So later that morning during breakfast, I said something to my parents' friend and just basically said, I swore I woke up last night and I thought I saw what I guess was a ghost sitting in the chair. My mom's friend Becky dropped her fork and stared at me and said, that's her great-grandma's chair. That's super old. Not sure how old really, but really old. They said they experienced some very weird things in the house, but didn't see anything like what I explained. So I never spent the night again, and it's been 18 years. Never seen anything like that since, and I don't go out there anymore. The trailer's gone. They still have the old chair and moved into their big house. So anyway, it scared me because I was a kid who didn't understand what I was seeing. And it was confusing, but it never once moved, spoke, or tried to hurt me, so who knows? I just know I had a weird feeling, and bam, that's what I saw. I later talked with my brother about 2 years ago, who never heard the story of mine. I was asking about Becky and George's house. Before I could tell him about my story, he told me about a black figure in the same trailer that stood over his bed one night staring at him. He said he got some very bad vibes from it, and even tried the close your eyes and it'll be gone thing, and was still there staring at him. Talking about it, we don't think it's the same figure that I saw. The one I saw was not a black figure. It was clearly a gray color fuzz looking woman figure sitting in the chair. He was 100% sure it was a pitch black shadow figure staring at him. After he looked back again, it was gone. Never heard him either. So there's only one question left to be asked. Who's haunted? The trailer or us? Next story. My mom grew up in an old farmhouse that has stood for some time. My mom shared a room with her three other sisters, and her brother had a room across the hall. Since she hadn't been able to sleep all night, She knew that no one else was awake. Suddenly, she heard the attic door open. Then footsteps. The footsteps went down the attic stairs, into the room that led to the attic, down the hall, past her room, and into the bathroom. She asked if no one had been in any of those rooms during the night. My aunt and uncle and their kids live in that house now, and they say they've heard footsteps, kids laughing when the kids aren't around, and dogs barking in the house when their dog is asleep. Oh, did I mention that the previous owner of the house committed suicide by hanging, and all the kids refuse to go into the basement because they say there's something down there? So, is it just the attic or the basement? Same ghost or different ones? Next story. The following accounts happened within the same day trip under the south arm and main body of Knife Lake in northern Minnesota. It's a very long section of water for people traveling by canoe, 7 miles or so total, I would estimate. First, on night 5 of the trip, we reached the south arm from the lake to the southeast and settled into a campsite near Eddy Falls. I was nestled in my hammock for the night with a tarp pulled over me like a blanket in case it was to rain. I was in deep sleep, and it must have been 2 or 3 a.m. since it was still dark and the sun comes up like around 4:30. I woke up to the sound of sobbing. It sounded like a woman, and it was growing very close. Then I heard footsteps coming through the brush and trees towards our campsite. The noise entered the campsite on the side I was sleeping on, and before long I could sense that whatever it was standing right next to my hammock. I flung the tarp off, half expecting a scared scout, but instead my hand struck a rather solid body that then sprinted off into the dense forest. Startled, I woke my crew and did a head count only to find that everyone was in their tents, asleep. I waved it off as a bare encounter and went back to sleep. Then, the next day we moved to another campsite about 3 miles southwest, down the lake and settled in once again. I was out gathering some firewood while the scouts cooked dinner. As I worked through the forest, I heard a really strange primal-sounding scream that made my muscles tense up and my hair stand on end. I involuntarily produced a strange whooping bark-like vocalization that I've never ever heard come out of my own body. This happened once more immediately after the first one. I was pretty shaken at this point, but stayed strong and calm when I got back to camp, as any good guide would do. The following day, we decided to do something unconventional and go for a night paddle. We sat around camp all day and relaxed, and around 10 p.m. we left camp and kept heading southwest toward base camp. At about 1 a.m., we came to the pinch of land separating Newfound Lake from Moose Lake. Here we had to cross through a relatively narrow passage of shallow water. At its narrowest, it's probably 25 yards from bank to bank. We were exactly at this point when out of the darkness of the right bank comes a flying rock. I mean, a huge rock. This thing was very large to have made it to 15 yards from the bank to the right in front of the effing canoe. Either a world strong man threw that rock or something really big living in the woods did. The rock landed on a flat shoal next to us, a piece of flat top granite about a foot underwater. The rock was so large it still had a foot sticking out of the water and was too heavy to pick up from the canoe. Next story. My buddy has a part-time job as a bartender at the local fraternal lodge where I grew up in Ohio. It's a small town and he is a bit older than I am. Anyway, I heard stories how this lodge, which is really part of an old house in town, is supposedly haunted. The basement of the house used to be where the main bar was. I remember going there with my parents for dinner when I was a kid, and I got a creepy feeling even then, though it was packed with people. Anyway, the lodge expanded, and this addition was added or remodeled years ago. The main bar has a ballroom off of it, separated by temporary folding walls. There's also a main dining area, so if you walked in from the entrance, you'd come down this hall, which empties out into the large dining room area to the right, and to the left is the ballroom. Off the end of the bar is a room with a fireplace where the old guys get together and play cards. It also can be pretty dark if there's no light on in that room. There is a door to the main bar on the left, or you can enter through the ballroom if the walls are open. When the lights are off in the ballroom, it's pretty dark. The kitchen is between the bar and the dining area and can be accessed right behind the bar. So, my buddy Craig was tending bar one night. Usual crowd was in. Mostly these older men who drink their particular drink of choice and will play tickets and watch the game on the big screen. The guys like the bar to be a bit dark, so the lights are dim. Craig had to go back into the kitchen to get some more beers and drinks. He said he turned into the kitchen and came face to face with this mist that was white and the shape of a person. He said he just stood there and it freaked him out. It was not smoke from the kitchen or any sort of condensation. He said it was the shape of a person. He turned right around and headed back to the bar, white as a sheet. The guy started joking and asked him what was wrong, if he had just seen a ghost. "Yes, I did," he replied. He's seen it several times. My dad tells me that he was sitting at the end of the bar one time with his back to the ballroom, which was open but dark. No one was sitting next to him on his right where the entrance was. He said that something caught his attention out of the corner of his eye, and he looked over to his right to see this white mist, the shape of a person, just standing there. He said it lasted only a couple of seconds, but then it vanished. He said he saw it several times, and he's looked over thinking it was somebody that walked in, and no one was there. If you watch people at the bar sometimes, they look over their shoulder, looking for whomever just walked in, to find no one has. Now, another friend was the lodge manager for a couple of years. He lived outside of town and decided to stay the night after closing and sleep in the office on the couch. The place was empty but for him, and he said that he started to hear methodical banging. He finally said, "All right, I know you're here and I hear you, but I'm tired and want to go to sleep, so stop, please." The banging stopped. I haven't seen anything there, but there are enough people who have that I believe them. Just who or what it is, though, nobody's ever been able to say. Next story. There is one incident that I was told about that gave me the chills. Some people I was camped with one year said that this happened to one of their grandfathers. He was in northern British Columbia during the fall of 1968 hunting deer. He'd spent the better part of 2 days in a spot and stock kind of hunt with no kill to show for his efforts. He said there were just no animals in the area. Towards the end of the second day, he spotted a deer standing near a large evergreen tree. He took the shot and the deer went down. He continued to watch the downed animal through his scope for about 30 seconds, then proceeded to walk towards its location. As he was walking towards the deer, he was putting on his gloves and chambering another round. He had his eyes off the location for no more than 10 seconds. When he arrived at the area where the deer went down, he was shocked to find it gone. There was no blood trail to show that it walked off. There were no footprints of any other animal that could have taken the deer. It was just gone. As he was looking around, he suddenly got the feeling that he shouldn't be there. He couldn't explain it. He just said that he felt like he was in imminent danger, so he started backing out of the area. When he was about 200 or so yards away, a very loud, high-pitched scream split the air. It came from near to where he had downed the deer. He fled back to the safety of his camp and cut short his hunt the next day. He said that upon further thought, he figured that something was in that large evergreen tree near to where the deer had fallen. He didn't know what it possibly could have been, but it bugged him. One thing he said that stuck with me and made me wonder why his grandfather thought this. He said that he believed that if he would have looked up into that tree, whatever was there would have thrown or dropped the deer carcass on him, possibly injuring or killing him.